provisions. We do pray thy blessing upon the further exercises of this evening. We do pray thy blessing upon the brother that shall lead us. May his words to be blessed, that they may be blessed and unctuous to all. Dear Father, who listen and to lead, may this be a praise and glory. Dear loving Father, we do also pray for all thy children this world over, those that are desirous of thy plans and purposes, those that are in trials and afflictions, bless and strengthen them to their needs, dear Heavenly Father. And we also pray that thou forgive us our shortcomings, our failings, our mistakes. Be with us now as we wait before thee, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so, dear friends, as we come to the end of the first day of the convention, we have the privilege to have with us Brother Murray from Columbus, Ohio. Oh, Indiana, pardon me. And the brother's topic is oneness of the divine family. So I'll turn the stand over to Brother Murray.
Thank you, Brother.
Well, I bring you the greetings of Sister Murray, who is no longer able to keep up with me. And I also bring greetings from Pueblo, Colorado, where in June we had a convention there for the first time, and also from Mackinac Island. But I have been in somewhat of a quandary, inasmuch as the brother talked on the same topic, I thought, well, I'd better change. But the more I thought about it, the more I decided, no, I'll just get up and say many more like words. And I think you'll all agree, if you say things often enough, sometimes somebody will believe it. So that's what I'm going to try to do this evening. I'm going to repeat, to some extent, what's already been said, and leave it up to you. Now then, I want to call your attention to that song, "Oh, to be nothing, nothing, only to lie at his feet, a broken and empty vessel, for the Master's use made me." Now when he made everything, he had material appropriate to what he wished to create. But look what he does when he develops his immediate divine family. He passes by the angelic host, and he comes down to earth. And does he pick out the best he can find? Oh, no. Not many great, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but chiefly the poor of this world, rich in faith, yes. Now then, we talk about this spiritual development. Now, you know, not everybody gets the full import of this. The new creature in Christ Jesus must be on the alert. If our religion amounts to anything, it has to be mysterious, because we are dealing with the infinite, the great Jehovah God, something beyond the complete comprehension of human beings. The new creature must grow and develop in grace and knowledge, and it is as we have attained a certain degree. Now notice this, as we have attained a certain degree of spiritual development, will we be able to comprehend spiritual things? That's right. Now if we're only limited in our development, we can only grasp to that extent. So you see, our topic, I think, on the program is be ye filled with the Spirit. That means I like to use the word heap much. Yes, heap much of the spiritual development. So, when we look into this matter, we wonder, do all who have been spirit begotten, do they show this rounded out spiritual equilibrium? Or is it only in the measure? Yes, that is the thought. Now then, we're going to discuss with you and say many more like words that have already been said. Do we really realize the full import of these words? Do you recall the words of our Lord as he was leaving his disciples in John 17:20? Which has already been mentioned. Neither pray I for these alone, those present with him, but for those also who shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, that they may be one also with before, that there may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. What oneness! Oh, yes, what unity and oneness existed there. Now, you see, he prays that we might have the same oneness and the same unity that existed between him and the Father. Do you realize that would be indeed heap much? That's right. Now we can have it in a measure, but that's not sufficient. We must have a full rounded out spiritual development. Yes. And I like to think of the text here. If we're co-laborers with Jehovah God and our Lord Jesus, we can attain a full rounded out spiritual development that Jehovah God can trust, mind you, in a divine body. Now, if you think you will attain that divine body by just having the knowledge and the understanding of things, my, what a mistake you're making. Though I have the tongue of men and angels and understand all things, yes, and the very intricacies of things, which matters are knowledge only, and have not this rounded out spiritual development, which Paul mentions, which is love, what are you, he says, you're just a big noise. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, that's all it is. Or you can give your body to be burned and do a lot of things, he says, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But if you have not that treasure development, you're just a big noise. My. Yes. So then, that the world may believe, if you have this, you're outstanding in every way. You know, I had the wonderful privilege of going down the street many times with our pastor, and you know what the people would do? They'd turn around and look back. Why? There was something radiated out from that man's countenance they didn't ordinarily see. That's one thing, and then another thing was, at that time, why his sermon was in hundreds of papers. Oh, that's the man, I read his sermons every week. Yes. That might have been another reason why they turn around and look back. So you see, you remember Stephen wasn't even an elder, that time, only a member, when they were stoning him, what happened? They beheld his face, it was the face of an angel. It was radiating out from his very countenance what he believed. So, my dear friends, if we progress in the spiritual development, we'll be outstanding in every way, and all will be glad when they're in our presence. You know, the Apostle John says there are three stages of Christian development. He mentions those who have made the beginning, who have overcome, I think, the evil one. I don't remember, you know, I'm just trying to recall. My memory, you know, is slipping. But anyway, then he says, I write unto young men, that full development, see, because you've overcome the wicked one. But he says, there's another development. Oh, my. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that was from the beginning. You have had that intimate association through the truth, and now you are able to grasp these things in full. And anyone, you remember the Father stage is life-giving. That's what the word means. Yes. Now here's a Father stage of Christian development in which anyone who is in the presence of that one could say, wasn't it good to have been in the presence of this one because there was something radiated out that was good? Yes. So then, you see, if we're rounded up spiritually, we can be in that Father stage, so all who are with us can say, indeed, how good it was to be in the presence of this one. Now, what a oneness. Unity. Yea, joint participation is indicated here in this text. Do we realize the full import of these words, dear brethren? As our Lord, as a man Christ Jesus, was perfect as a human being, this perfection must be demonstrated. Why, he was made perfect. He was already perfect, but he did demonstrate his oneness and his unity and his loyalty by the things which he suffered. He demonstrated what he had. Yeah, his loyalty and his oneness and unity. You know, look what we have to do. Oh my, what we have to develop and then be tested. Yes. We'll be tested, and if we don't have any of those experiences, then we can't be rounded out. You know, sometimes I think we ought to really think our enemies are our best friends. Why? Why, they're the instruments that are being used to round out our character development. Without that grinding and that polishing, we couldn't make it. So there, in place of being angry with them, or criticizing them, just throw the mantle of love over them and cover up all the weaknesses and imperfections. Let them criticize us all they want to. That's what I do. I just throw that mantle of love over all who criticize and find fault with me in any way and just forget it. You know, Michael, Tarwith and Jude, in his contending over the body of Moses, why, the Jews would like to know where Moses was buried so they could go up there and, oh, they'd celebrate and pray and think of the faithful mediator Moses. But Michael says, oh, no, I can't stand for that. But he could ruin out the devil. See, what did he do? He didn't bring about a ruling accusation. What did he say? The Lord rebuked thee. Now, similar experience we have, but we just only say, the Lord rebuke, and leave it all in the Lord's hands. Now, if you're around me up in spiritual development, that's the way we can do. And then our enemies, you see, are really means of bringing about this oneness and this unity of character development. Therefore, our Lord demonstrated his perfection, and which he had, by the things which he suffered. And he was continually in daily contact with fallen humanity. And by the the temptation of the great adversary. He was subject to that all the while, but he went through it all faithfully. Now then, can we do that? That's the question. Yes, that's the question. This temptation of the devil, and also the continued 3.5 years conflict with the fallen mankind, just think that fine, sensitive nature was continually in contact with that awful atmosphere all around him. Until finally, when it comes to that marriage, or that funeral, you remember, they had the hired mourners, and they were really mourning, as we would say in the vernacular, to beat the band.
Yes.
And our Lord said, oh my, what a mess. And he wept. He couldn't stand it. No. No, you see, his fine, sensitive nature was severely tried and tested all the while for the whole 3.5 years. You know, when we compare that with his, why, there is no comparison. No. Now then, that loyalty to the Father was fully demonstrated, and after the attempt of the devil, we are informed that the angels appeared unto him and comforted him. That's when he was tried in the beginning of his ministry, but not in the end. No, in the beginning they came and said, now, you have done very well. All is well. Yes. Therefore, our Lord was tempted 3 times. Let us not forget that the members of his body are also tested 3 ways. Oh, my. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil to contend with. We can say, get thee behind me, Satan. And we can separate ourselves from the world. But oh my, when we wake up in the morning, we have to contend with our old man. And he fights us all day. And he's always saying, now come on, now don't be so radical. Come on, now that's compromise. Oh my, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And you cannot do the things that you would because of the contrary conditions. So, we have that from the time we wake up in the morning till we go to bed at night. Never relax. No. Now then, to what extent are we overcoming these things and attaining this spiritual equilibrium, rounded out spirituality? Yes. No, we can't escape the flesh. Oh, Lord, have this oneness, this unity, this togetherness with the Father, did he really understand the fullness of the sufferings involved? No, he did not. How do we know? Well, here in the world, evidently not, but he grew in knowledge and understanding, as he informed us, regarding the times and the seasons. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, not even the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. Mark 13:32. This is also demonstrated by the closing hours on the cross. Oh my, let us look into that. The closing hours on the cross. Our Lord was willing to come and die, yes, to become the great corresponding price for Adam. But did he understand all the time the full import of that? Let's see. Now he was telling the disciples, he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Oh, how am I straitened in difficulty that it be completed? What was he thinking about? Why, he was thinking, now this abuse and this ridicule amidst mockery and everything that I'm enduring and will continue to endure? Is that necessary? Oh, Father, he says three times, cannot this be avoided? Do I have to undergo this, a part of my corresponding price for Adam? This mockery.
Oh, I think when they put that robe on him and said, oh, he's a king. Yes, the mockery. And when they put the crown of thorns on his head, I can imagine the blood trickling down over his noble forehead. And did he say anything? Not a word. And they even spit in his face. Did he resent it? Not a bit. And he took it all sweetly. And then, what did he say in the end? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He had momentarily a necessity of suffering the loss of his Father's communion to be the corresponding price for Adam. Adam lost that. He had it and lost it. Now to be the exact corresponding price, the Father says, you must endure that just temporarily. Then he made that request three times, but no answer. He was never encouraged here on this occasion, but that was his lot. So then, when we think what our Lord endured, and we compare our lot with his, my, there is no contrast. So, you see, while our Lord had this oneness, unity of the Father, he did that, and what did actually happen? Our Lord died with a broken heart. Yes? He just broke his heart. Then you remember, after he made this outcry, in a little while he made another cry and gave up the spirit. Oh, my. What a lot was his. It was the Gethsemane cup that he was worried about. And he said, is there some way I can evade this? But no, there wasn't. The Father never encouraged him in any way. The angels didn't appear here on this occasion and say, all is well. No, not by any means. No, indeed. So then this demonstration, by his closing hours on the cross, was necessary. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Matthew 26:39. Now let us look into this oneness. It seems possible that the Lord did not fully realize the full import of the sufferings and humiliation, as indicated by the brazen serpent, erected by Moses in the wilderness. Quote, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And John 3:14, and even so today, do we all realize the full import of our humiliation as members of the great royal reigning family of God, the divine family, made out of nothing? Yes, he starts. Why the angels, they look down, they say, what do you know? Look what Jehovah God is doing. Well, he's passing us by. We would all like to be that royal reigning family, but no, sir, he's gone down to earth and picked out the worst he can find. That's the reason you and I are in it. Yeah. Not many of us.
No. Poor this world. That's the reason I like that song.
Oh, to be nothing, nothing. Yes. Let us realize that Jehovah, God, is doing this, during this gospel age, he is selecting out of fallen mankind, his royal divine family. Why? He's starting with the worst he can find. Now then, what that means? That means that if we are co-laborers with Jehovah God, and we invite Him in our hearts, minds, He'll come in. But He only goes in where He's invited. And then our Heavenly Father and our Lord will do all their part if we do ours. And if there is any failure in our case, it's because we didn't do our part. Because we know our Father and His Son will do their part. Now you know what happened, or what will happen, we might say. Just think of the great company. All right. When they knock, they want him in. We've got it made. Yes, he ought to go in. What did our Lord say? Well, I don't know you. What are you doing? Well, they straight out from under his influence such an extent that there was no immediate oneness there anymore. And our pastor says, I think he was right, when he said they almost committed the sin unto death. But God in His mercy, oh, I won't do that. I'll just pump through the washing machine. Throw all bedraggled, yes. Wash them up, nice and clean. But what did they lose? My dear brethren, just think what they lost. The position on the throne. They lost the right to be kings and priests on the throne, but only before the throne. My, what a loss. And they thought they had it made. Don't you ever get the thought, my dear brethren, that you have it made. Never get that thought. Just keep on fighting and pressing on. The Apostle Paul had the right idea. He said, I count not myself as having apprehended, but I'm pressing down upon the mark, coming in on the home stretch continually until I make it. Then in the end, of course, he said, yes, he had done that. But in the beginning, he said, I'm pressing down. Now, you know, that's what we're doing. And if we think we've got it made, that's the beginning of our downfall. Let no man ever think of himself more highly than he ought to think. When you go into a place, take a back seat. Don't go up front and sit down. Somebody might come and say, that position somebody else. But go on back there and sit down. So you see how nice that fits our lot. Always remain in a humble, childlike attitude. There's room for promotion. But if we think we're something, there is no room in God's sight for promotion. No. Now then, let us truly realize this matter. And this embryonic spirit being of the divine nature is obligated to grow and develop more and more into the personality ready for the divine body. Just think what that means. Now, don't ever get the thought that you have it made, because the fight is continually between the new inner man and the old man. Never can get away from it. But this is the way God looks at the situation. Now, does He look this way in my case, in your case? He says, now I see this individual, this new creature has developed unto a point in which it's doing its utmost, its very utmost, to subdue and crucify the old man. He's done his best. God can only judge that. Well, if the best is done, what else is to be done? Oh, my, that instantaneous change. No sweet change and twinkling of an eye. From this human body, this old dead carcass, unto that divine body. Because he says now, God knows, that all I need to do is to put that personality in a divine body, because the efforts are there, but it can only function in a part as long as it's in this old dead body. He just gives us a body in which this personality can function. And he knows. Just like when we're justified and made right and stand in God's sight. What's that mean? Why, God said, I reckon you as having passed all through millennial age. And you're at the end of millennial age, a perfect human being. I reckon you having done all that. And he gives us that credit. But he said, I'm going to watch you now and see how hard you try to live up to that imputed righteousness I grant you. That's what it means to have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Nothing but perfection can be acceptable. God says, now you have that privilege. I'm going to see how hard you live up to it. And if you do your utmost, all is well. Yes, the masterpiece of divine creative power, making something out of nothing. Masterpiece of divine creative power. And that will bring about this oneness of the divine family. God will sit down at the table with them and feast with them. And what will they feast upon? They'll feast upon the progress of the world of mankind over the great highway of holiness unto perfection. Won't that be a feast of Jehovah and the body of Christ as they see all of that taking place at Jehovah's table? Yes. Now let us note the five different aspects of this divine family. It has been touched briefly, but I'll say many more like words. Yes. The Father trusted the Son implicitly to such an extent that he stated thousands of years in advance through the prophet that his Son would do in the redemptive work, and the Son was delighted to cooperate with the Father in his redemptive plan. What oneness and what unity there. And the second oneness of sympathy. Oh, there's a lot in this oneness. Yeah, oneness of sympathy. Yes, the Son delighted in the privilege of cooperating with the Father as he said, I delight to do thy will. Yes, oh God, yes, thy law is written within my heart. And if we have that in our own heart, we can enter into this oneness and this unity with our Father and our Lord. Yes. And then there's a oneness of love. It was indeed mutual love and confidence that motivated both Father and Son. And they glorified in the same loving and benevolent purpose that sympathized fully with the groaning creation. The Father and the Son likewise are very sympathetic in all this. Yes, and with the groaning creation and their rescue from the curse. And what a oneness of suffering. Yes, here, the Son suffering due to the fine sensitive nature, while here with the uncouth fallen nature, and the Father suffering in the loss of the Son's companionship, and to the extent that Jesus wept, as I said, you know, on one occasion. And the Father witnessed all this. And he was demonstrating his love by letting his Son suffer all this ignominy in our behalf. Yes. Then the oneness of love, yes. That's the way it works. And now there is a oneness of possession. That's what we're interested in. Oneness of profession. Our Lord has already stated, all things that the Father hath are mine, John 16:15, and the Apostle says, God hath appointed the Son heir of all things, and hath set him at his right hand, doing everything that he wants done. Yes, in the heavenly places, for above all principalities and powers and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come. Hebrews 1, 2 and 3, and Ephesians 1, 20 and 21. And now, lastly, we note the oneness of honor. Please note here the exalted position indicated. The Father says, let all men honor the Son. John 5:23, God hath made him the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and exalted him to the right hand, to the chief seat of power in his kingdom, giving him all power in heaven and in earth. Hebrews 1 and 3 and Matthew 28:18, you mind? We have a part in it, if we're faithful, gain membership in the body. We'll have a part in all its possession, all its honor and glory, yes. Let us all be on guard, dear brethren, and not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. For when we do this, we are inclined to rest on our oars, and you know what happens, you drift with the tide. And now, my dear brethren, let us not forget that all the oneness, the unity, must be attained by every new creature in Christ Jesus who hopes to attain membership in the divine family. And mind you, this attainment is developed right here in Canada, or wherever you belong. Don't forget that. You earn that. Now, it's not a gift. No, it's something you earn. This is a glorious oneness, indeed. But with wonder and joy, we learn that it is our privilege to come into this blessed oneness with God and our Lord and King. Yes, indeed, through the exceeding great and precious promises, we might become partakers of the divine nature. And this blessed oneness, if we crucify and put to death the human nature by growing in grace and in knowledge more and more into Christ-like nature. Yes. Yes, indeed. We are to attain this divine personality while yet in our human body, our house made with hands of Adamic origin, but we are going to be changed into our house eternal in the heavens. Yes. Yes, indeed, dear brethren. We have been washed and cleaned and are made perfect in His sight. Therefore, this person, divine personality, unable to serve properly in this human body, will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, into the divine body. And mind you, this is the birth of the new creature. And it is the body of Christ that dies, the body of the flesh that dies, and not the inner man, no. Now, dear brethren, I'm going to quote Mother Osho when I close. I like to do that. Let us recall the wonderful thoughts of our pastor here in August 24 manna text and comment. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. John 17:11. Comment. As we come to consider the beautiful expression of the Lord's sentiment with reference to the church, to catch a glimpse of the glory of the blessed oneness of the divine family, it is a oneness of purpose, a oneness of confidence, a oneness of sympathy, oneness of love, oneness of honor, oneness of possession. This oneness our Lord already described as already existing between Himself and the Father. But as far as the disciples are concerned, it was and is still prospective. And its full accomplishment is the ideal goal toward which we are striving. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Murray, for the encouraging words, which I'm sure that we all can say we need so widely in our day that we live in. And when we stop and think what a wonderful thought that all the brethren have come to this convention.
Father, which art in heaven, in whom we live and move and